right? The great prophet of Israel. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're in Exodus chapter 3. There's some interesting stuff that have happened over this past week. I want to encourage you to find resources. So if you're digging into the scriptures and there's something that you find very interesting, like when God just suddenly seems to be wanting to kill Moses after he whines at him a bit, and that seems awfully random. He worked with him for quite a bit here. There are great study Bibles that you can dig into that might be able to help you to answer some of those initial questions. There's of course lots of stuff you can find online, and if you need more study than that, then I'd encourage you to see me, ask questions of your brothers and sisters that are next to you. We're a community, the body of Christ, that try to discern this sort of thing together. And so this is a journey, a year through the Bible and in life in general. We journey together, and so I'd encourage you to do that as much as possible. So we're in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Let's join in prayer before we read. Father God, thank you so much for your word. We pray for grace, and we pray that you'd open our hearts and minds as we hear your word proclaimed. Change us through the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending to the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of a fire from within the bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious, a land flowing of milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of Israel has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. This is the word of the Lord. So as you are aware, my family and I moved here from Michigan. And of course, when you move from one country to another, there are some cultural adjustments that you have to make. But one of them was just a small thing, one that we really didn't anticipate or expect, and it might seem insignificant, but it's something you do a lot when you're in my position and you visit people. And that's when you go to somebody's house, you take your shoes off at the door. Seems simple enough, and quite frankly, you think you would do thing like this in Michigan as well, but, and you do occasionally, but not, I don't know, it just wasn't as prevalent in Michigan where we grew up. But when we came to Canada, boy, it was everywhere. No matter who we visited, it just became habit. Take your shoes off when you come in the house. And so I thought to myself this week as I was reading this passage and thinking about it, I thought to myself, wow, we moved to Canada. Did we move to holy ground? Now many of you would probably gladly say, oh yeah, you better believe it. But, I hate to break it to you. That's not the reason why we take our shoes off when we go into somebody's house. As much as Canada is or could be holy ground, that's not the reason, right? It's an incredibly practical reason, right? When you're dealing with snow and sleet and salt 8 or 9 months out of the year, you just don't want to bring that into people's houses. It just makes sense, right? And so we learned this when we came here to Canada. And as I sort of thought about this further, there's something more to this, right? As I look at Moses, it's not that the ground that Moses comes up to is inherently holy, right? It's because the presence of God is there in the midst of it. That's what makes it holy. And when we think about why we take our shoes off when we enter someone's house, it's some of the same sort of reason. Right? Our host is to be honored by us taking our shoes off as we enter their house. We honor them by not dragging snow and sleet and getting mud all over their carpet. We show respect by taking our shoes off and entering the house. And in much the same way, this is what Moses is doing as he approaches God's presence, as he enters into God's presence, this holy presence. The host is what makes the ground holy. This is a picture of Moses' famous call to do a very, very big task that is set before him. His call to go out and to set the captives free, to free Israel, God's people from slavery within Egypt. This is an event that would define the nation of Israel throughout its history. So this is so important. Calling is what I want to speak about this morning, because this is so important for us as well as God's people to understand what calling is, how we are involved with it, and what that means to us as God's people. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning, the idea of calling in relation to what Moses teaches us here in his calling in Exodus chapter 3. So if I were to define calling, I would say it is this. It is an external affirmation of God-given internal giftings. Right? So let me say that again. Calling is an external affirmation of God-given internal giftings. Now this can be sorted out in many different ways, right? There's special calling, like called, special calling to leadership in the church or ministry or whatever. That's what we might call special calling. But each and every one of us, especially as God's people, have what we call a general calling. That is a calling in which we honor and glorify God in everything we do. As we look at Exodus 3, we see Moses' calling is defined by three things. Calling is miraculous. Calling is purposeful. And finally, calling is always God-centered. Okay? So let's look at these three. Calling is miraculous. Now Moses is a prime example for this, right? Moses is just minding his own business, just going about the ins and outs of daily life, caring for the sheep. And then he comes along the mountainside and he sees this bush burning, or rather a not so burning bush, a bush that appears to be on fire but is not consumed by that fire. He thinks to himself, well, this is awfully strange. I think I'm going to go check this out. And he does. And in the midst of that, he steps into the holy ground, which we talked about already. And he hears the voice coming from within the fire of the bush. This is a very dramatic picture, right? A very dramatic picture of a calling in Moses' life. And now you might be thinking to yourself, well, if this is a picture of general calling, a calling that each and every single one of us receive, I don't know that I've experienced a miraculous calling in my life. You might start questioning things. But to say you haven't received some miraculous calling in your life, it's to underestimate the reason why you are sitting here in these hard wooden pews this morning. See, why are you here this morning? What has called you to come here this morning? See, each and every one of us, the Bible paints this picture of us having this heart of stone within us. That is a heart that is unreceptive to the things of God, right? Ezekiel gives us this picture, and he says, through the work of my spirit, I will turn that heart of stone into a heart of flesh. That is one that can receive the things of God. And so the fact that you are here this morning, the fact that you claim to follow Christ, is a sign of a miraculous renewal of your heart in there. Even if you don't believe to this point, or you're just asking questions, the fact that you are willing to ask questions, to approach the faith, is a miraculous sign that you are encountering the God of the universe, the God who created us. He is working, drawing things up in your lives, so you ask questions. And in some ways, hopefully, we'll be able to receive those answers. So you may not have had a dramatic instance of the miraculous such as Moses has had, but the very fact that you are questioning, the very fact that you are here, the very fact that some of you are committed to Jesus Christ as Savior is a miracle in your life. It truly is. Ephesians 2:8 paints us this wonderful picture of this as well, and reminds us just how much of a miracle this is, where the Apostle Paul says this. He says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not yourself, it is the gift of God." See, grace has been extended to you. The miracle of God's grace has been extended in your heart. God is working in you the miraculous gift of His grace as He draws you closer to Himself. And as you do come closer, as you commit yourself more and more to be God's people, you see that He is making you, He is setting you apart for His purposes. And the Apostle Peter paints us a picture of this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says this, he says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." A royal priesthood, a holy nation is what we are called in Christ. I know some of you might be thinking to yourself, oh my goodness, I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. This nation is in trouble. This priesthood has difficulties. See, but this is a beautiful picture of God's people. Our walk with Christ is a journey. When we commit ourselves to the body of Christ, we're not a finished product. God is still working the miracle of salvation, of sanctification, if you will, in our lives. And trust me, I can identify with this sentiment that you may be saying to yourself about this royal priesthood, this holy nation. Remember, I didn't grow up in the church. It's kind of laughable that I'm the one up here teaching you guys here this morning. I mean, I started to go back to church so that I could get a free church to prepare for our wedding. I went back to church to have the opportunity to sell mortgages to people. My motives were not pure, but yet God worked in my life. He brought me along the path. He took me on a journey and is still taking me on a journey. A journey which I constantly have to remind myself that I'm a sinner in need of grace. I'm constantly falling short of God's standard, God's holy, good, just, and righteous standard. A standard that as I fail at, separates me from God through death and eternal condemnation. And as I have walked this journey and understood the scriptures, realized more and more that good works are not going to be able to earn my favor back with God. Good works don't work. See, but the beauty thing about this miracle happening in our lives is that we realize too that God is good, that God is gracious, and God is loving. And He knows these things. He knows that good works don't work. He knows that His standard is perfection. And so He sent a Savior as a substitute to restore us to right relationship with God. Jesus Christ came, paid the penalty I deserve, took my sins to the cross, died the death I deserved, and was resurrected 3 days later. This is the picture of the gospel, the miraculous gift of God's free grace given to anyone who would believe. If you have questions about that, I would encourage you to see me before you leave. Talk to me. Even if it's just a question or you just want prayer, ask them before you leave. God's grace is amazing. God's grace is miraculous in our lives, and we all need it. My second point this morning is that calling is purposeful as well. Purposeful. Sometimes we search our whole lives looking for purpose, but here in this moment, Moses is given a purpose for his calling right away. God didn't appear in this burning bush to just strike up a conversation, to have a chat with Moses. Oh, Moses, wow, you're 80 now. Ooh, you're getting old. You're getting up there. Here, have this new walking stick. This will help you tend the sheep all the more, and you can do fun things with it too. Look, it's a snake. No, they didn't have this chatty conversation at all in this moment. God served Moses, reminded him that he is calling him for a purpose. And as God's people, we are called with purpose as well. Ephesians 2:10 says this. It says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Good works are set before us so that we can serve God and love our neighbors. God doesn't need our good works, but our neighbors do. They desperately need God's people to love them, to serve them. Think of it this way, the idea of purpose. If there is a God, and if that God created you, then that God has a purpose for you, has a purpose for your life. And those purposes, in all likelihood, align some way, shape, or form with the way that God is working in and redeeming the world in which he created, the world that is rebelled against him. Now that could look different for each and every one of us. It could just look as simple as picking up trash and alongside of the road, but asking the question, how does this redeem the world that God created? Interacting with people to show them God's love and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It might look like building condos or building software. It might look like serving in the medical field. Whatever it might look like, the reality is that however God has gifted you, he has also called you to glorify him, to honor him in the midst of that calling. And sometimes it's just about taking that moment, slowing down, and asking the question, how can I glorify and honor God in this vocation? How can I see how God is calling me and working in the midst of it? See, because all callings are always God-centered. And that's my third point. As we look at this dialogue that Moses has with God in this moment in Exodus chapter 3, it's very interesting. Moses asks a question that I'm sure every single one of us would ask if we were confronted at this situation. Who am I to go rescue your people? Why would you choose me to do this? I can't even believe that. I don't have the skills. I don't have the abilities. Why are you asking me to do this, God? Who am I? God's response to Moses in this moment is, it's just beautiful. Because he says, essentially, it doesn't matter who you are. It matters that I am with you. And that is the promise that he makes to Moses in this moment. I will be with you, he says. And the same promise is made to us as God's people today. See, as much as we often forget, the reality is that God's Spirit lives within us. Jesus' death and resurrection ignited a flame where God's Spirit lives within us. And what a beautiful picture that is. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, he says, do you not know that you are God's temple? God's presence is in you as a follower of Christ. Not just any present, the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And so because of that, we can ask the question, how can I glorify and honor God in anything that I do? Now you have to see how totally countercultural this view of calling, vocation really is for us as Christians. See, you've been told your entire life that you need to just let it go, that there's this wind howling inside you, and that you need to answer that there's a swirling storm inside, and that you'll never truly be free until there's no right or no wrong Because then you'll be free after you let go of all of that. Should make a song about that. Now there's lots of truth in this ideal of this. Right? This idea that we need to look inside, to search with who we are and how we are wired. There's lots of truth to that. Absolutely is. But it's not complete. It's not complete. We should absolutely search within and see how God has wired us. But we should then turn and look to affirm that within our context, within our families and friends and communities that we are called to serve. And then more importantly, we should understand that within the context of God's Word and how He has revealed Himself and how He is working in the world around us. See, if this is truly what calling looks like, if the Christian response to what calling is look like is that it's miraculous, that it's God-centered, and that it's purposeful, if that is the true calling on us as individuals to understand it in these terms, then to not understand it in these terms is very tragic. Do you see that? See, because if you don't understand it in these terms, then you will never truly experience the miraculous in your life. If you don't understand it in relation to God through Christ, you will never truly find fulfilled purpose in your life. And you will never be able to do everything completely and fully as a whole person, because you were made to be God-centered and especially Christ-centered because He redeemed you. The picture of Christian vocation, Christian calling, is so deep, and it's so much of what the world around us desires. Purpose, to experience the miraculous and to be centered on the One who created us. I want to challenge you to find those opportunities in your life this week. If you want to ask questions, you want to talk about this, see me after service. If you just want prayer, I would encourage you once again to do that, because the gospel is the lens through which we can see this wonderful life that touches everything we do. Let's pray. Gracious and good Father, we thank You so much that You call us, that You miraculously change our heart of stone to a heart of flesh, that You give us purpose, meaning, and You call us to center ourselves on You because we were made for that. Help us to see the truth, the truths that our culture shows us, that we can search within. But Father, remind us that we always need to center on You, what You are doing, and how You are working in this world. Help us to see our life as a calling by Your grace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here I am, Lord. Just what Moses said. We sing that as our response this morning. Will you stand if you're able?